This is Michael Arrington on WGN. Hey, how you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great here from rainy California.
Where are you in Northern California, where I hear it's rainy?
No, luckily I'm in Southern California. I'm Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, right here.
Yeah, it's not too bad then. You know, you've done all sorts of things in your career, opening for Brenda Lee, Tony Martin, John Denver, Jackie Vernon, Rosemary Clooney. You've acted on stage, but then I guess it was 2004 or so, you began playing Paul Lynde. What?
Right.
And you kind of sound like him a little bit. What drew you to play?
Well, sort of sometimes, Stephen. It all depends on my mood.
You sound like him a lot. So what?
Thank you.
What drew you to play him?
Well, I had been, you know, I've been doing stand-up comedy my entire life. That's how I got started in the business. And I was in Washington, D.C. doing a show with this character that I have. Her name is Esther Goldberg. And it's sort of like America's version of Dame Edna. And it was a Sunday, and I had nothing to do. And I said, I'm going to take the train from D.C. up to New York and see a matinee. So there was a matinee of this show called Goodnight Gracie, and it was George Burns, and it was Frank Gorshin was playing George Burns.
Yeah, I remember.
And so I decided to go up and see it, and it was just by myself, and I'm sitting in the back seat of the theater, and, you know, he comes down and says, say goodnight, Gracie. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. And all of a sudden I went, oh, you know, I could do this with Paul Lynde, because people had said to me, you know, he's one of the voices that I've done all my life ever since my voice changed. And I decided to create this show. And next thing I know, it was Peter Marshall gets on board, Cloris Leachman, Rose Marie, all of his friends came on board and decided to help me with stories about his life and some of the true facts about his life, and it just grew. And who knew it was going to take over 20 years to get it going as big as, and as it continues to grow. And we're excited, and there's been a resurgence, which is, I think, why you contacted me
yes.
a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I had started the Paul Lynde. I have the rights to the estate, which is part of the things that happened when I was creating it. And his nieces ran everything, and they said, you can do Paul and play Paul in perpetuity, as was our deal. And as long as you represent him in the right way without the lies and blah, blah. Now, we did discuss his alcoholism, because he had an alcohol problem. He had other problems. And we talk about that in the we deal with it in the show in a really fun way. When you see the show, you'll understand how we tackle it.
Well, I want to talk about some of those things. So first of all, there is a Chicago connection. He went to Northwestern University.
Northwestern.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had kind of a tough, not necessarily childhood, but a bit later. Didn't he have a bunch of siblings? One died early. His parents died early, I thought.
He did, but he peritonitis is what struck him when he was 5.5 years old. And it was so funny. One of the questions that you played at the top of the show was about the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
He was raised by nuns. and his mother, who was sick, I had him taken care of with nuns during the day. It was pretty amazing. But he had peritonitis as a kid, and for an entire year, his mother had him in a bed next to the kitchen, and she would always feed him, and that's why he had a weight problem, and he became very, 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 very fat. And there were some things that happened, you know, with the family and losing his family, but it was the weight problem that was something that haunted him, and then his addictions and his demons, you know, that he had.
Oh, and talk about a little bit about that. He was a stand-up comic at first, appeared on Broadway eventually in Bye Bye Birdie. He was on lots of sitcoms before eventually appearing as Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. He was a semi-regular at the time, very popular show then, Dean Martin's variety show. But he might be most remembered for Hollywood Squares. And in fact, it is hard to go on the internet and not see clips of Paul Lynde. What do you think this resurgence is all about?
You know, it happens, you know, every few years, but this is the biggest that it's ever happened. I actually created the Paul Lynde page on Facebook, 12 years ago. And what happened was, you know, people were signing on to it, and I had 2,000 here, 1,000 there. Then about a few years ago, it went up to about 12,000, and it's just kind of stayed there. Then about a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, I had put up this video on this, which is on the site. It's Paul Lynde and Elizabeth Montgomery from the Hollywood Palace. It's one of the funniest, funniest videos. I put it up and it got 2 million views within a couple of days. And then everybody was passing it around and then they kept coming to the page. And so I went from 12,000 and this morning I'm getting ready to hit 42,000 followers on the site.
Well, maybe and, you'll have 42,001 or something after this. I hope so.
Oh,
anyway.
Hush. It's WGN. Hello.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right. So it's become such a sensation that Billy Eichner, I believe, is looking to portray Paul Lynde.
Well, it's a pitch. They haven't bothered to contact me about the rights, but it's a pitch right now. And I don't know what's going on with it. I think after his movie Bros bombed, he doesn't exactly have too many things on his plate at the moment. So I don't know. I'm waiting for them to call me.
Yeah, and it would be a feature film that we're talking about if they call you and if they say yes. Yeah, and all of those things. All right. So
no, we actually have another script that was written by a gentleman named William Butler,
uh-huh.
And Aaron Strongoni, and it's wrote Off Center, and it's an incredible script. So that's something that we've been trying to produce, but that's done with the estate and my blessings, you know, to do it the right way.
Was Paul?
So we'll see what happens.
Was he truly one of the quickest wits? I mean, it seemed that he answered those questions so incredibly fast. Did he know what they were in advance?
They knew some of the questions. Whatever. In fact, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I will.
About three weeks ago, I don't know. Wendy Liebman is one of the funniest female comedians in the country, and she texts me and she goes, "Michael, you've got to meet Roberta Kent." And I go, I've heard of Roberta. We've been talked about, but we never met. Roberta was one of the original writers for the Hollywood Squares. You need to have her on.
Okay.
And she's amazing. So she was giving me information about that, as well as Bruce Valanche. You know, Bruce wrote, but Roberta was one of the original writers. And yes, there were all of them. Everybody on the show had help, you know, but Paul was very funny. Needless to say, you know, his timing was impeccable, and they would give them, you know, answers, but he put his little Paul Lynde twist to it.
Well, also what I loved, and if you watch the clips, you can go to YouTube, just type in Paul Lynde, and you can,
or you can go to the Paul Lynde page,
which
that
is,
I have,
yes,
which is Paul Lynde, his name, and the number one, because somebody grabbed the name 100 years ago, but it's Paul Lynde one, the number one on Facebook, and it's got so many videos. But yeah, you're right. You type in Paul Lynde, boom.
So you go to your page and you see these videos. And what I enjoy, watch this, if you watch any of the videos, you can see, for example, Buddy Hackett go, ha! It is the performers themselves that, I mean, he was great. The audience loved him. Peter Marshall, clearly to this day, because we had Peter on the show, I don't know, about 8 months ago. However.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it is also the other performers that are there.
Rosemarie, you always hear her going out.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him.
Yep. And,
but
you know,
Rosie.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, Rosemarie, she and I have known each other since I was 18. And I met her through Rosemary Clooney when I opened for Rosemary Clooney for a couple of summers as a kid. This teenager, and that's how I met Rosemarie. And when I brought the show to Hollywood the first time, Rosemarie came to every single version of the show as we were workshopping it. She and Peter came to see the show the first time we ever workshopped it in front of an audience.
Wow.
And I got their blessings, you know.
How nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. Playing all over the world, because I know you played it in Mexico, so that counts, you know.
Can you believe that?
I know.
Puerto Vallarta. Here we are, burritos and Paul Lynde.
So,
what more could you ask for, Steven? And, you know, when we did the show, Peter Marshall unbelievable, said, Michael, I will do all of the voices for you. So when we do the show, we act as if Paul has never died. He's just been gone for 40 years. And he comes back. He comes back magically on stage. And I mean, he's like, things are different. Twitter, you know, all these different things. And he talks about all these great things. He goes, I knew Cher before the first farewell tour. You know, but you know, like some of the questions, Nathan Hale, one of the heroes of the American Revolution, was hung. Why? Because heredity. Boom. I mean, and these are things they got away with.
All right. I want to talk about how did that, I mean, some of these things, I was listening and I thought, oh, I can't play that on the radio. Yet this was way back, what, 50 years ago at this point.
Exactly. And oh.
Yeah. On the other hand, he wasn't, I mean, he was gay, but he wasn't that persona, but he was. And he was kind of like this in-between. So talk about that a little bit.
They called them confirmed bachelors, Steve.
Uh-huh.
It was Paul, Charles Nelson Reilly. I adore you. I mean, all of them. George Firth. There was Liberace. Truman Capote. They were all confirmed bachelors, is how they described them back in the day. But there were women that would throw their underwear at Paul in when he would do his shows. The women fell in love with him, you know. It was pretty amazing. But Paul never denied anything. He actually said one time, "You must live in a cave if you can't figure it out." But he was totally unabashed when. But he never, you know, blurted it out. I'm gay, or wore a big old pink triangle on his forehead or anything like that. And in the show, we cover it in such a really cool way. And you find that out at the end when he, you know, when we do the closing number and he sings, I am what I am. I was my own special creation. It's pretty cool. And a lot of the LGBTQ people that have actually come to see the show, they go, we have a tear in our eye when he goes to say goodbye. You know, it's. I'm excited. I hope we can bring the show to Chicago. We just need to find a theater there that'll take us.
Well, this wouldn't be the first time. So people listen to the show, book this guy. And there are theaters in Chicago that could do that all over the city, in particular, maybe on the north side of Chicago. A couple of questions here via the text line. 312-981-7200. One is a question I was going to ask as well.
Mm-hmm.
He died so early, didn't he? That is the question.
Okay, let me put the myth apart. You know, there was a whole thing about Paul died in bed with a hustler who left him some paid male prostitute and whatever. I actually, doing the research on the show, got the death certificate in the coroner's report. He had a massive heart attack. He died at the age of 56 with the heart of an 86-year-old man from alcohol and drug abuse. And he had actually, believe it or not, he and Dick Van Dyke had gotten sober together.
Hmm.
They were 1 year. They were AA buddies. And Paul was clean, but the damage had been done to his body. And he died. He was actually shooting a pilot for a new show and died in his sleep with his little dog, Alfred, there.
Would you say that he was, you mentioned, I think, the word demons earlier. But
yeah, even demons.
But that he was actually, tell me about the persona off screen.
The persona, okay, Paul had a lover. His name was Marco, and he was this very handsome young guy that he met in the West Village in New York City. It's not talked about much, but Jan Craven, who was part of the Northwestern alumni, there was, you know, at Northwestern. Do you know who was in Paul Lynn's acting class at Northwestern?
No, tell me.
Cloris Leachman, Charlton Heston, Patricia Neal, Charlotte Ray. Paul Lynde, imagine that acting class at Northwestern. That was their theater group. I mean, you know, Paul had an alcohol problem big time. I mean, there were a few times he got picked up when they were shooting the Osmonds variety shows in Utah, the dry state. But, you know, he battled with alcohol. He battled with his weight. And when he drank, as Kay Ballard gave me information, Paul started off, he was started off great. One drink, he was fine. Two drinks, he became Dr. Mengele. You know, he was just, and it destroyed all of his relationships that he had. And Marco was like this incredible artist who had no idea who Paul Lynde was. He was from Spain. And that's why Paul was got along with him in the beginning, was because he didn't care. He didn't know that Paul was on TV and was famous. But the demons are what got him.
I have a question here I want to jump in and get to, and that is,
go ahead.
Tell me if he enjoyed Bewitched playing Uncle Arthur.
He wasn't Uncle Arthur in the beginning.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
In the first season, look it up. In the first season, he was Sam's driving instructor in 1964. Look it up. It's black and white. And he and Elizabeth and Bill Asher, who was the producer, director, creator at the time, and married to Elizabeth Montgomery, Elizabeth and Paul got along so well, they decided to bring him back as Uncle Arthur. And if you go on my page, I think it's in the highlights, you'll see the Elizabeth Montgomery and Paul Lynde on the Hollywood Palace. You can see the incredible chemistry that they had. And and then he only did 9 episodes as Uncle Arthur.
That's the thing. I mean, you would think he was almost in the series all along, as often as Agnes Moorehead as Endora. Because he was, he was so good. He was so good in that role. Yep.
You know, and there's young kids discovering him now because of Amazon and Pluto and some of the other shows. And then I played the voice of Paul Lynde on the number one children's show in the world 10 years ago. I was called The Sweet Life with Zach and Cody, and I played the Magic Mirror.
Do you have a favorite?
And I did the voice.
Do you have a favorite Paul Lynde line before we let you go?
Okay, but Paul is Peter Marshall. Goes, Paul, in ancient Rome, bakers were required by law to bake something into each loaf of bread. What? A Christian. Boom. There's so many.
What a pleasure to talk to you, Michael Arrington. We'll be seeing you in a Chicago theater somewhere, because someone is going to say, this is right for Chicago. Michael, a pleasure to talk to you on WGN.
You got it. A pleasure. I hope to come back, and I'm going to get you some other guests. Get you Roberta Kent, who is an incredible, incredible comedy writer.
I would love to talk to her. That would be great.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much.